Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs, and this is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. All right, we're pleased to have you here today. Thanks for being with us. Today we have a good show with our good friends from AASA, the School Superintendents Association. In early November, they had their consortium of superintendents of the year, their forum. That was last week, November 3rd to the 5th, maybe it was 2 weeks ago. It was called Leading in Critical Times. And in case you haven't noticed, these are critical times for school district. And so all the 2020 and 2021 State Superintendents of the Year came together and discussed varied topics like innovative leadership, equity, which we love talking about, education, social-emotional learning, I'm sure, working together with business, vaccinations, the key topic this year, okay, all these sort of things. And so we have got two of the 2020 superintendents of the year, Stacy Butterfield from Jenks Public Schools, which is right near Tulsa in Oklahoma. She's Oklahoma State Superintendent of the Year 2020, and Mike Nagler, who's Mineola, Long Island, New York, 2020 State Superintendent of the Year. We'll bring them both on in just a few minutes and get their insights on all the things they learned and what's going on in their two wonderful school districts. We will archive at ace-ed.org. That is the home website of our American Consortium for Equity, ace-ed.org. Okay, you'll see all of the podcasts we've ever done over there under the podcast link. You'll see our magazine, Equity and Access, which is absolutely excellent. We've got a new issue coming out at the end of this month, so please check out the current issue that's up there. It's a wonderful issue, by the way. The only journal out there focusing on equity and access these days, again, at ace-ed.org, and a link to our SEL, Social Emotional Learning, seltoday.org, new website. Okay, so I hope you get all that and go with it. And without further ado, let me bring on my two wonderful guests. Ladies first, we'll go from Maine, where I am, to all the way down to warm Oklahoma. Stacy, how's the weather near Tulsa tonight?
It is absolutely wonderful, Larry. It's going to be in the high 60s with 70s tomorrow, so it is still wonderful.
70s. Wow, we call that the height of summer here in Maine. What can I tell you? Well, okay, that's incredible.
And I love fall weather, but I am not a fan of the winter cold, and so I'm anxious for this to stay around for just a bit longer.
Well, I have a feeling you probably will. It's a great place where you live, and you're right outside of Tulsa, right? Am I correct?
That's correct. Our district encompasses South Tulsa and the city of Jinx.
Oh, literally. Okay. And I learned all that. I actually went on the internet because I've tried to figure out where Jinx was, and I learned. So there you go. We'll talk all about it.
Yes.
Okay. Let's move up to New York. Okay. Home of the Giants, they're doing well. Home of the Jets, they're doing well. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I don't know about either one of those doing well, but I am doing fantastic. Thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. Okay. That's good news. All right. And, Mike, congratulations, 2020. The weather there, I'm sure, is the same, sunny and fall-like in Mineola. Am I correct?
Okay. We got through a couple of tornadoes yesterday, so, yes, I'll take whatever we can get today.
How close were the tornadoes? To Mineola, Long Island?
Yes, 15 minutes from Mineola. Unbelievable, as it is, yes.
Oh, my God. Was there any damage?
Some damage to homes, but luckily no one got hurt. And just part of our crazy weather nowadays.
I feel in a way this is coincidental because Oklahoma is the home state of tornadoes.
Correct.
You are correct.
We're switching places for a moment, but I'll be more than happy to leave it with you.
Well, then, let me just say to Stacy. Stacy, I'm so sorry about the Jets and the Giants. I'll leave it. I'm just switching everything. All right.
We love our college football here, though. We don't have a professional league team, but we love our college football.
Really? I had no idea you guys played football in Oklahoma. Is that true? I had no idea at all.
Oh, yes.
What teams do you play? You don't go down all the way down to Texas, do you? You don't go down there, do you?
Well,
I'm only kidding, Stace. Well, okay, kidding.
Yeah, well, and actually, we have taken our high school football team to Texas and
sure.
played some of the schools down there, and they have come back up here with us. So,
well,
as you know, we love our football in this part of the country.
Absolutely. I love my football up here. And how's the Jenks team doing?
We are doing great. We are in the playoffs, and we will go to the second round of playoffs this weekend with the hopes of making the state championship final game again this year.
Well, I hope you do. Congratulations. What's the name of the school mascot?
Trojans, the Jinx Trojans.
No Jinx Trojans, all right. And Mike, how's Mineola doing?
We did not make the playoffs this year. We're done. But the Fighting Mustangs are always always in the game. So
yeah, what was the joke I heard one time that the comedian, he said he loves the name of the University of Pennsylvania team, the Fighting Quakers.
Yes.
Okay, think
yes.
about it for
a
second.
A little bit of an oxymoron there, yeah.
It certainly is. I hope you both enjoy the AASA Forum for State Superintendents. And by the way, 2020 was a nutty year. You didn't get all the kudos you deserved. I just want to congratulate you both. Congratulations, Stacey. Congratulations, Michael. That's a big honor to be a State Superintendent of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Okay.
Thank you very much. It is.
Yeah. And that means, we call this show Leading in Critical Times, and these really are critical times. And I just, if I may, want to start there. And, Stacey, I'm going to ask you, you're down there in Oklahoma, all right? How are things going this year? Because we're hearing all the news, you know, about uproarious, crazy school board meetings all over the country, okay? And just how are things going this year?
You know, it is a
times.
Much better year. It is.
Yeah.
It they are critical times for our young people and for educators in general. But it is no doubt a much better year, Larry, in our part of the country and more specifically
Good.
Here in Oklahoma and in our school district. And, you know, there are certainly varying opinions out there when
yeah.
it comes to
Fine.
School board meetings. But it has not been what we've seen maybe in some parts of the country and within some districts has not been the case here.
Great.
So we're just, you know, we're grateful and want to be listening to our constituents and also understand that unfortunately in times like these, we're not able to please everyone, but we keep our
That's right.
focus on our students because they are the ones that are, they're the ones that are most important in the work we do here.
Absolutely, and I hope everybody remembers that nobody's trying to hurt anybody's children, okay? And I'm so glad, and you should, and I'm glad you said that you want to listen to your constituents. That is so important, and my only words to that is that I hope they listen to you when you speak, and it sounds like they are, okay? We have the best interests of their children at heart. Go ahead, Stacey, did you want to say something? Stacey?
No, you summed it up well.
Listen to us, we'll listen to you, and I do want their opinions, okay, you know, me, okay, because that's important, and it's their kids we're entrusted with. Mike, what's happening up in Mineola, or down from here, up from Oklahoma? Mike.
Yes, similarly, we are relatively quiet this year.
Oh, good.
I was chuckling when Stacey said we don't try to please everyone. I gave up that a long time ago, trying to please everyone. But I think that when you lay out the reasons and the logic for why we're doing things, most people can see that it's reasonable and we move on. And we had a little more unrest this year than we had last year, believe it or not, with the masking, because I just think
yes,
fatigue set in. But by and large, you know, we launched a couple of new initiatives. We're in a good space, and we're moving ahead.
Right. That is wonderful. That's great. And may I ask you, since you said that, what areas are you moving ahead on, if I may ask, since you said that?
Well, we're trying to leverage the good things that came out of the pandemic. So we're launching a new high school. And the high school is really trying to focus in on asynchronous learning and student agency.
Nice.
And some of the work we've done in during the pandemic virtually and bring it into a new form of high school. So that's one of the things. We're also, you know, we've been one-to-one for a long time, so
mm-hmm.
one of the topics of the conference was Learning 2025 that Bill Daggett was involved with AASA, and that really resonated. A lot of things he spoke about really resonated with the work we're doing in Mineola.
Oh, that's nice. Are you, now, one thing I just want to ask, are you building a new high school, or are you creating some kind of new form of high school, the way you
said that?
We're
creating a new form, but we actually purchased a bank, an old bank that literally is across the street from our high school.
Great.
And we're going to retrofit that into a new atypical high school environment.
Well, that sounds very interesting, and I hope you will keep me apprised of that. That's really an interesting thing. How big is the bank? Like, got a vault in it and stuff?
You know, it's funny. You would think it had a better vault than it does, but I didn't have any money there, so it was okay. But about 17,000 square feet.
Yeah, no wonder they closed. They kept the key to the vault under the mat in the front door. It wasn't a good bank. It was a bad bank. Okay. And since I said that, Stacy, what's happening down in Jenks? What's new on the horizon?
Well, like Mike said, you know, we're trying to take advantage of what we learned during the pandemic. And as, you know, Bill Daggett said, you know, change is exponential right now. And this change that we're experiencing in education is filled with opportunities, like Mike has alluded to. And so we are looking at, you know, how can we best redefine educating our students for today, in today's world, and the jobs, you know, that do not literally exist right now that our graduates will be seeking out and trying to, you know, look at how best to do that and create multiple pathways for our students to experience high school and life beyond, you know, that senior year here at Jenks.
That is just wonderful. You know, I'm so glad to hear both of you say it. I congratulate you both and to all the superintendents out there. When we read the newspapers these days, you would think education is in a complete and total state of chaos and going nowhere. And then you listen to these two superintendents. Yeah, exactly. You listen to these two wonderful superintendents who are prime examples of what superintendents are running across the whole country. All right, you two, congratulations. And you hear that things are really moving beautifully. Okay, and yeah, these are critical times and tough times, but these are opportunistic times and a great way to reinvest in everything, what's going on. What was the thing you pulled out of the forum? The forum, again, the AASA Superintendent of the Year Forum, which combined 2020-2021, was November 3rd to the 5th. And Stacy, I'll stay with you. What were the things that you discovered and the things that you'll pull out of that forum? Again, it was called Leading in Critical Times.
You know, I think, well, there were several ideas that I know Mike and I could go through and talk about great length. But just in a quick synopsis, you know, just walking away with ideas, one from Bill Daggett and the other speakers, but two, our colleagues, and having the opportunity to connect and network and bounce ideas and then return here to our own districts with ideas and excitement and energy that we can share with our teams, because there is no doubt, you know, the last couple of years have been exhausting for our leaders back here in the district and for our teacher leaders as well. And so to be able to come back with ideas, but then also just general enthusiasm and to say, you know, we are doing some of the same work that others are doing across the country, and to be proud of what we are producing here in our own district, and then ideas to look forward to. And like Mike mentioned, the whole concept of Learning 2025, and I know you, Larry, are talking about equity and access.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, you know, sometimes some of the words that we use in education, the general community has a hard time relating to.
That's right. They are translated poorly. I'll give you another one, social-emotional learning. Yeah. I'll give you this.
Yes.
It's out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was talked about at length. And, you know, and what some of us are trying to impress upon our communities is that we are truly focused. When we talk about equity, it's as simple as doing what we need to do for all students, reaching
exactly. All
students and doing what's best for all students and making sure they have access to the same opportunities as their friends that live in a different neighborhood that perhaps attend a different elementary school with us, you know, having four elementaries here in the district. We want to make sure that it doesn't matter which elementary school you attend, but that you receive the same educational experiences
wonderful.
And opportunities.
Absolutely wonderful. And, you know, the way I always boil it down when we say equity and someone gets mad, you have to relate to them. That refers to your child, too. That doesn't just refer
yes.
to that kid over there. It refers to your child, too. If your child needs advanced education, we're going to give them that. If whatever they need, we're going to give it to them. And that's what equity is about, okay? And it's really just, you know, just explaining it to people and all that. Mike, what are your thoughts on all this? What'd you pull out of the conference?
Well, I think they did a really nice job of giving a broad perspective. So not only did we hear about the future from Bill, but we also spoke to U.S. Chamber of Commerce. We had a great lecture from a professor from the University of South Carolina about privatization in schools. I really enjoyed that. And then the practical things and management stuff like vaccines and working on kids' agenda and lobbying. But I think it gave you a broad stroke of all the things involved in our job. But like Stacy said, it was really the networking opportunities. So this is a national organization, so you're outside of your typical colleagues and really speaking to, what's happening in Oklahoma is happening in New York.
That's right.
Right.
At varying degrees, but we have very similar issues that we can relate to one another and learn from one another. And I think that's the great thing about conferences in general, but AASA really does a nice job at it, I think.
Yeah, and you know, you just summed it up. The truth of the matter is we can all learn from each other. It doesn't matter what part of the country we're in. And that's one of the key challenges that we have these days, okay? It's relating to different parts of the country. And yet, if you travel to any part of the country, you always walk away feeling great about it, okay? And it's so weird, the juxtaposition, okay? I hate to say it, of what the media says and what's really happening out there. Sometimes it gets on my nerves. Okay, it really does. I have to ask this, and this is just, I'm hearing this again. How is your staff holding up? And I refer faculty and staff during these crazy times, if I may say that. Okay, Mike, I'll stay with you on that one.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing well. We've been one-to-one for a long time. So going to virtual for us was not a heavy lift. And I promote an environment and a culture of make mistakes. It's okay. We want it for our kids. We want it for our adults.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, we've been doing well, and we handle the bumps and the hiccups as they come. With a human aspect of it. So I think we're doing well.
Good, Stacy.
Similarly, I would say that we're also dealing with some of the fatigue. And just trying to maintain the stamina for our employees, and you know we're also we're experiencing a real workforce shortage here.
I was just going to write down the words. How's the teacher shortage affecting you? And you brought that up. Great minds think alike.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, and it is a teacher shortage, but it's also a general workforce shortage. It's this way in every state now, but you know, the bus driver shortage and then our paraprofessionals, that short of edge individuals that support our students with special needs. And then therefore they're in our classrooms supporting our teachers. And so that from that angle, we're trying to listen to our employees and address, you know, their needs, their mental health needs, as well as our student mental health needs, and then also professional development for our teachers. As you know, like so many districts across the nation, we're taking this investment of dollars from the federal level, and we're implementing a lot of new initiatives. And so with those new initiatives comes, you know, the need to make sure our teachers have the professional development training they need. And
right.
So we're investing heavily in
That's
that
right.
area as well.
Right. And the other thing I always like to remind superintendents and principals, when you have your career fair at the high school, don't forget to include an education booth. Okay, and we always have veterinarians and firefighters and everybody else, okay, and engineers. We need an education booth so we can get kids interested in education. Yeah. And it's easy to forget because the tailor always has the baggiest pants. It's easy to forget ourselves, okay? Yep. So I always say that. It's key. How you doing with this teacher and staff shortage up there, Mike? Is that a challenge right now?
Yes, absolutely, as it is nationally, I think.
Yeah.
You know, we try to run pipelines for, like, we have a residency program at a local college, so we have a little pipeline for teachers. We get to see them before they get their certification. So that's been a nice program that we've run for many years. But I think, you know, one of the beauties from the profession, definitely in the beginning of the pandemic, was the love for teachers. You know, we had this newfound love and a little more respect for the profession that we seem to have lost a few years
again,
back.
Well, I think we're losing it again with all the screaming at the school board meetings.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you try to find those silver linings and stay with them because that's another example.
Yeah, and again, no educator is perfect, okay? Nobody is, but we're trying to do the right thing for their kids, and that's what I don't want to get lost in the shuffle of people, okay? I want to throw out a term. I'm curious about this, and I know it's important to AASA as well, and I wonder if it came up at the forum, was social-emotional learning. I was just on the phone last week with your good friend, both of you, Mort Sherman, over at AASA, and we're talking about what we're doing with SELtoday.org, our website. And I'm curious, is there a movement, and I'll ask Stacy first, in your district, Stacy, it seems to be everywhere, but I don't know if it is everywhere, about social-emotional learning and how that's being handled, and if that's become a flashpoint as well, if I may. Yeah.
You know, Larry, it's interesting because I, you know, being a lifelong educator, I mean, social and emotional learning, elements of social and emotional learning have been part of what we do for years. But yet for some, it appears to be a new term on the forefront of education. And I think it's really not a new concept. But it's being described, the way it's being described and captured by some appears to be new. But really, it's about interpersonal skills. And it's about what do our young people need, our learners, in order to be successful right now in their educational setting and in their groups, their social activities that they do outside of school. What are those interpersonal skills they need to be successful at these ages? But then what are the skills that our workforce partners are looking for in our graduates?
Great
so
point.
Really, that's our focus for us here in Jinx.
I'll give you my favorite quote of all the thousands of podcasts I've done. Okay, it was a guy in Ohio who was responsible for getting high school kids apprenticeships. Okay, and he said kids are invariably hired for, quote, their hard skills, and they are invariably fired for their lack of what we call soft skills. Okay.
Exactly.
And, you know, Stace, I got to tell you, you summed that up beautifully because we've been doing it for years. Okay. For years. Okay. And it just all of a sudden became a silly flashpoint that I think not that social emotional learning will die down, but the furor will die down about it as people realize that it's just something to get aggravated about right now. Mike, what's going on up there with SEL?
Well, it's funny because one of Bill Daggett's points at the conference, and Stacy used it, was to not use the term SEL, but to use interpersonal skills. And he substituted the word interpersonal.
Yeah.
I like transitional skills. It's the notion that there are people don't like soft skills, but that's something we need to teach. We need to pay attention to, and I get leery that people want to assess it instead of recognizing it. But I think those are that's some of our work that we need to do to heighten this, you know, we're going in this very ambiguous time in our, in the speed of technology is really changing the workforce and the future of work.
Mm-hmm.
So in that ambiguity, it's less about content and facts and more about how you can handle and solve issues. And those are all these skills that we're talking about. You know, but one of the things we're doing with our, with this new high school concept is to really take the Kessel Core competencies and make those the essential questions we ask kids. And the content work, which is still required, will do that asynchronously, but the work in school is really problem-based around these essential questions that are incumbent upon these interpersonal skills.
Right. You know, and both of you, you are so dead on with this, and Bill Daggett is dead on, right? If there's a problem with the word, just change the name. Okay? And Stacey, when you said we've been doing it for years, okay? And again, we all have the best interest of kids at heart, and I know. And actually, it brings up another question, all right? Mike, I'll start with you here. I work very closely with a group, you may know them, called the National School Public Relations Association, otherwise known as ENSPRA. And they've always loved, okay, both internal and external communications, all right? And in this day and age, you know, considering the pandemic and vaccines and everything else in the world, okay, you know, all the politics going on, et cetera, okay, talk about what you're doing with communications and if that was discussed, okay, at the forum. I'm curious.
Yeah, it was discussed specifically. There wasn't a workshop on it, but you know, it's integral to our jobs. We can't do our jobs without being able to be transparent in how we communicate. I'm partial to videos. We make a lot of promotional videos about the work we do to not only excite people about it, but also educate the why in our initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
For example, this high school launch, we made three different videos explaining what we're trying to accomplish and why it's a good,
I like that.
Good for the community to support it. And you know, we have a videographer on staff, so they're high quality.
Wow, good for you.
Products. So it's one of our methods in addition to surveys with big survey. You know, the old Ed Koch, how am I doing aspect of leading. So, and there's two audiences. There's your stakeholders, which are with their kids in school, and in New York, we need our communities to support our budgets. It's all local-based, so we need to educate our constituents that don't have children in school. So we're always cognizant of those two things.
And just always remind everybody who doesn't have kids in school but are homeowners and paying their school taxes, okay, that the first question every single realtor is asked is how are the schools? Because the
absolutely.
The how are the schools determines the value of real estate, all right? And so people who don't have kids in the school, they need to be just as invested in the school district. Okay, and that improves the quality of life and the economic life of the community. Stacey, that was my spiel for today. Do you agree with me? Stacey.
I absolutely agree with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, as a host, I appreciate that. I'm the host of the year here, okay, every year, okay? I mean, it drives me nuts when people say, I'm not paying for any more taxes for the schools. Well, if you do that, your house value is going to go down. How stupid
true.
Can you be, for God's sake?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
it's
besides
so
the
true.
Fact, yeah, and now I'm on a rampage, okay? We pay for a fire department, okay? We have far less contact with the fire department, God bless them, than we do with the school district, okay? Yet we never complain
well,
about
we certainly
supporting
hope
the fire
that's
department.
True.
Yeah. You know? So, I mean, you got to be practical with this stuff. I mean, it's great. Talk about communication, Stacey. I'm sorry to go on one of my rampages there. Go ahead.
No, I just will add to what Mike shared in that it really is about telling our story. And as we tell our story, it educates those that are not inside our schools or do not have students within our, you know, our schools currently. It educates them as to what we are doing. And it gets the real story out there. It gives us a chance to share our message. And us share the narrative of what we are doing to truly educate our students and prepare them for the world in which they are going to live and contribute to. And, you know, education is really the one thing that can bring everyone together. And I, you know, as a former communications specialist and director in our district,
I wholeheartedly support it.
So I was part of INSPRA and the whole internal, external stakeholders and truly believe in it. And like Mike said, it's explaining the why behind what we're doing. Education looks so different today. If we are putting those videos out like Mike speaks about, then we're showing them a glimpse of what it looks like today for our young people.
And Stacey, I had no idea you were so involved with ENSPA. You must know, you're going to be surprised that there's my college roommate, one Rich Bagan.
Okay, I do remember. Yes.
I do.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I do remember him from my days in that role. And
yeah.
I had the opportunity at the forum to sit at the table with a couple of the representatives, the executive director and a couple of others from INSPRA. So it brought
Barb
everything
Hunter.
Full circle.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That is
great. I grew out of that. That's great to know. I got to tell you, you two are wonderful and so deserving of what you did in 2020. Okay. And the sharing of this is so darn important. So I'm just so pleased to have you both on here. Congratulations on the 2020, being in that 2020 cohort to Stacey Butterfield and Mike Nagler. Thank you both. This was great. Thank you.
Thank you. My privilege.
Thank you so much.
Mine indeed as well. Take care, guys. Be safe, okay?
You
Bye-bye.
Too. Be well.
You too.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye. Aren't they great? AASA, they just do such a great job. It's AASA.org, okay? And Stacey Butterfield from just outside of Tulsa in Jenks Public Schools, Jenks, Oklahoma, and Mike Nagler on Long Island in New York, both the 2020 State Superintendents of the Year, Oklahoma and New York. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. Check out what we're doing at SEL today. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.